BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
Totally
it's not redundant.
We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World tag team champions of the world. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two rules you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the redneck version of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends at MemLanePromo.com. Go check them out for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. And joining me, as always, is the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Good evening, everybody. Yes, it's because you went to Georgia tonight, Matt. That's exactly why we opened with the devil, being you, went down to Georgia.
Well, to be fair, Impact is going to Georgia in June.
Mm-hmm. On June 6th, they'll be down in Georgia. Oh, gotta get the show off to a fun start. And this is how you do it right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It is. So we've got a bunch of fun stuff to talk to you guys about tonight. We've got news. We've got discussions, we've got an exciting Impact review, because a lot of really fun stuff did happen tonight. Before we get to all that, we have our question of the night.
If you can give a wrestler a job outside the wrestling world, what would it be? And we got some interesting responses, didn't we, Lindsay?
We did, and I have an interesting response, too, and unfortunately, I think I have to keep it clean.
You have to keep it clean?
Something tells me a member of my personal harem is not a job.
We give hard questions, Matt. Really? Really hard questions?
Mainly because they're short answer and they're not multiple choice. Sorry, that's not how we roll here on The Rack. We refuse to give you the all of above answer. You have to actually come up with an answer. We do apologize.
Yeah, you can't just use B, 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 C.
You can't Christmas tree this one, folks. Sorry. Or you can go the more popular and difficult route of the smiley face.
Save that one. Cane Kittens. We'll use that later.
Oh, I hate you, Cane Kittens, so much. To your corner, now.
Oh, this is going to be a fun show, I can tell.
This is going to be a great show. By the way, to everybody that listened to our wonderful interview with Brian Shields last week, thank you so much. If you have not listened to it yet, please take a listen. It's up in the archives now. Also, please go check out the WWE Encyclopedia in your local bookseller or on Amazon.com or anywhere else books are sold. It's an absolutely fantastic edition. Awesome. Love it. Can't wait to see a third edition. Hint, hint, wink, wink, WWE. And also congratulations to Jed Schaefer for winning the copy. I know there are several bitter people out there about it, but once again, congratulations to him. I will be mailing it tomorrow.
That'll be better. He won. Fair and square. Rig. It's a rig. It's a sham. Whatever.
Well, you know what? When he gives me cookies and y'all don't, what can you do?
We told you before the show you can bribe us, but, you know, none of you took us up on the offer.
Yeah, it says on my Twitter, I am easily bribed with cookies. Cupcakes are also acceptable. How did you give me 80 cookies and then eat them?
So,
that doesn't make any sense, dude.
He had planned to give you 80 cookies, but he had decided to eat them.
What kind of cookies?
That's a good question. What type of cookies did Matt Goldberg make? Now, were these store-bought, or did you actually make them?
You don't know what I like.
See, I'm suspecting he didn't have cookies.
He lies.
Liar.
Lies. Oh, lies. But before we scare everybody off, I say we get into our news segment, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com. If you're listening to us over there, thank you so much. If you're wondering who we're talking to, who this crazy Matt guy is, other than the producer of Terrified, which will be coming out shortly, he's one of our fine chat room members.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my thought for a second.
Fine chat room members and a former guest of this show, by the way, as well. Check out the archive at rackradioshow.com. And from Matt Goldberg, all I gotta say is...
You know...
Liar!
Liar!
Uh-oh.
That's a lie. It is a lie.
Anyway, if you're wondering why we're giving Matt a hard time, he's in our interactive chat room over at wildtalkradio.com, so you're welcome to come join us in the chat room over there. As you can tell, we do read our chat, we do pay attention to our listeners, and we do talk to you on a one-sided conversation because, well, nobody calls in.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll because nobody calls in. So anyway, to get to the news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PW Mania, I think the biggest news, there's actually two big news items, one that came out today and then one came out earlier in the week. Which one would you like to talk about first?
Whatever you want. It's your show. Lead away.
Well, since it's number one, Dolph Ziggler appears to have received a concussion at SmackDown's tapings on Tuesday night. This does not bode well for Extreme Rules, which is in actually about 10 days.
About 10 days away from now, Extreme Rules will be hitting the airwaves on pay-per-view. And the world title match is up in question because of this concussion, because he has to pass the impact tests. And by the sounds of it, he has really bad symptoms at the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like he took a really bad bump to his head. It will be interesting to watch SmackDown tomorrow and see if he is actually, how bad it actually was, kind of thing. Hopefully he is okay. Hopefully it's extremely minor, because obviously people can exaggerate on how bad the symptoms are and how bad the injury actually is. So hopefully it is not as bad as we're hearing online, and he will be okay.
Yeah. As Russell Fanai puts, no way he should wear a ladder match if this is the case about his health. Yeah,
absolutely.
We totally agree, because this match was put together to showcase Dolph Ziggler, this whole ladder match deal. And if I were WWE, I would keep him out of the match.
They're going to have to, if he's as bad as everybody says he is, then they're going to have to find a way to take him out of the match and do something with the title. I don't know if this is an indication that he will drop the title, if he will forfeit the title, what will actually happen with the title, whether they will take him out of the match altogether and they'll just make it a ladder match. I don't know.
If he's out only a couple weeks, I would keep the belt on him and make it a number one contenders ladder match.
Fair enough.
At the pay-per-view, I would not rush to take the belt off him. If he can't make June, then that's where you can possibly think of taking the belt off him.
Yeah, and just do a short title run with somebody.
Yeah, because if he can't make the June pay-per-view, which is June 16th, so that's a month away, I would keep the belt on him.
Yeah, I would say at this stage, depending on how it happened, because I haven't heard how it happened. So, like I said, it will be interesting to watch SmackDown tomorrow to see.
Something tells me Swagger and a ladder got involved.
Well, if Swagger is the reason that Dolph Ziggler currently has a severe concussion, then Swagger better get some... There better be some justification for this. Or there, I should say the justification's the wrong word. There better be some retribution for this, either for Ziggler or by the company, because when you hurt the title, when you hurt your champion 10 days out from a pay-per-view and a match that's supposed to feature him on probably the biggest push of his career so far, and then some guy goes in there and hurts him, that's not good.
No, no, it's not good. And the way he was throwing around the ladder on Raw, yeah, I worry.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about what's going to happen with the match. But we'll have to see tomorrow on SmackDown, that's the thing.
Yeah, so... Everybody tune in to SmackDown if you're interested, if you care. If not, just stay tuned to YouTube because they'll have it up on YouTube within 24 hours. As far as what it was that actually took him out.
Yeah, the WWE's good at putting matches up like that, and they'll showcase what happened.
Yes. And our best wishes to Dolph Ziggler. Hope he recovers quickly. Hope it's not as bad as everybody's saying. But speaking of YouTube...
Okay...
The other big news that actually came out today is that our friends over at Impact Wrestling have signed a deal with YouTube Premium.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting their own exclusive channel. It's a pay-per-view. Is it a pay-per-view or is it a paper?
It's a subscription channel.
Okay, it is a subscription channel.
Give me 1 second. YouTube announced today the debut of the subscription channel service, which will feature content from a select number of YouTube partners, including TNA Wrestling. The new channel includes the majority of our pay-per-views and DVD archives, additional titles from 2012, and more premium content will be available on a weekly basis. Fans can still visit the current YouTube channel, youtube.com/TNA Wrestling, for weekly regular content. The big cost of the subscription, I believe, is $4.99, where you're going to get a whole bunch of goodies from TNA Wrestling, some premium old stuff, and all that fun stuff. Go ahead.
It looks like it'll be interesting. Obviously, as Matt noted in the chat room, that WWE has opted out of this, and they're actually going with YouTube on this. UFC, I believe, is also in on the YouTube deal.
As their YouTube page plays. It's youtube.com/TNA+. It's $4.99 a month. You can get a 14-day free trial, which may include some ads if you subscribe to their TNA Wrestling Plus on YouTube. Other partners that are endeavoring include the USA, as you mentioned, Comedy TV, Jim Henson TV, National Geographic, Pets TV, and more. So... It could be interesting. It depends what they have on there. It's $5 for a lot of content. I guess that's good.
It depends on what they give you. That's the thing. Like, we've actually talked about this off-air, I believe, of WWE doing something similar on their own website where they put up exclusive content where it's shows you can't get, it's interviews you can't get, like... To take the stuff that's been filmed from the network and put it on, either put it at this stage on a YouTube channel like what TNA is doing, or put it on their own website and host it, and then that way you pay like $5 a month to get, you know, like the Legends of the Round Table and the Legends House and the Divas Show and all the stuff that they have in the can and ready to go for the network that's obviously at this stage aging.
Right. But as far as this goes, $5 is pretty good for a deal like this because you get all the back paper, a majority of their pay per views and DVDs, which is kind of cool. But you don't have to go out and buy the actual DVD. You can just go to youtube.com/TNA Wrestling Plus and probably get majority of what they've have released so far, and that's a cheap way for some people.
It is. It's if you think it's worth the $5 just to get the backlog of pay-per-views. It kind of depends on how far back they go on their pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Because I would actually be curious to see if, for just nostalgia's sake, they go back to some of the first ones that they ever did, like Victory Road and Against All Odds, when they first started way, 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 way back a long time ago.
Right.
So it's, I would honestly, because it's funny, I was actually flipping through my DVDs the other day looking for something to watch, and I came across all the old TNA pay-per-views that I have, and I have quite a number, and it was like, huh. So it just brings to mind, it's like, for a nostalgia freak like me, that would be kind of cool to, you know, if I didn't have them, to pay $5 and see it. And also for people who are new to the product, to go back and see what it was like
that too.
Back in the day.
And you talk about everything, you know, as I say all the time, if it's on the internet, you can find it for free most times, but you don't always get the great quality. And this, you'll get great HD quality most likely for whenever they produce in HD, and, you know, really good quality for whatever else they put out. If you have $5, and once you find out what they're actually offering, give it up to some time before they set it up. I'd try it.
Yeah, I'd pay $5 to try it. Why not? It's $5.
It's $5. If you got $5 to spare, it's worth it.
I paid $10 to watch the Hall of Fame when WWE streamed it online, so $5 for the YouTube channel to check it out. Why not?
Right, and they're offering the free trial, so you can always try it out and see if you like it. If you like it, you can keep it.
Exactly. If you don't like it, well, you can get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you.
It's up to you.
You have options.
Options.
But speaking of options,
mm-hmm.
More Impact news. As they announced tonight on their telecast that they will be going back to the 9 p.m. Eastern time slot starting May 30th. They are abandoning 8 p.m., moving back 1 hour to 9 p.m., which will put them bonding up right against our show. So if you want the up-to-date final Impact review after May 30th, come and listen to The Rack. Tell your friends. Because we will be going on right after they go off the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will. Yeah,
sorry, cheap plug, Shameless Shill, can't help it.
Shameless Shill, she's learning well. Good move. The ratings have been down for the 8 p.m. hour, so moving back to 9 p.m. where it's been strongest. Smart idea. The biggest question is, it's going to affect Bellator, which Spike has acquired, and they're going to probably have to move that to a different time slot in the summer. Because they were going on at 10 when they returned.
Well, to be fair, you could honestly stick Bellator in the 8 o'clock slot.
It's a two-hour show.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah, so they're going to probably move to Wednesdays at this point.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they'll move the schedule around. They'll figure it out. They've got a nice cover going into summer, so they can shift their schedule a little bit and not have too many problems.
I like the move. I like the 9 o'clock time better.
Yeah, the little bit later time is better.
I like it for Raw, too, so can we go back to, like, 9 to 11 Raw, please? Kind of? Sort of?
They're not going to do that.
Aww, please?
I know. No, they're not going to go back to the two-hour format.
Please?
No.
Damn it. Oh, well.
I would love for them to go back to the 9 p.m. slot East Time, too, because then that way I'm not cooking dinner right in the first hour of Raw. Same goes for Impact, because for me it comes on at 6, because I'm in the Mountain Time Zone, so I'm cooking dinner right as the show is coming on. It's fantastic.
It's awesome that way. But good move. I like it. I'm ready for it. What else is in the news? WWE has reached an agreement with the Breach Direct Marketing Construction Toys, which they will use them to make WWE events and wrestlers. Those action figures will be available as action figures and construction bricks to build WWE sets in the spring of 2014.
I want these so bad. As Matt says, WWE Legos. Yes.
Legos are awesome. If you haven't heard, we like Legos around here.
We want a Lego table, damn it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
A Lego hardcore rules match.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That'd be a tons of fun. Not tons of fun, tons of fun.
No, Matt, that's not the only thing we want. But for Tim's show, they were doing a Fans Bring the Weapons match, and we suggested a Lego table. Mm-hmm. Somebody said they were going to do it, and they never did. They also said they were going to bring Legos, and instead of using tacks or anything like that, they were going to use Legos. And sadly, it did not happen. We were most upset.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I say we, it was mainly Omega and Mace.
Mm-hmm.
But it still would have been awesome.
It still would have been awesome.
No, Lesnar did not smash Tim's office.
But he could.
He could. Is it wrong that I want Paul Heyman to wish me a good morning now every day?
No, that's a pretty good thing.
Because of that video?
That'd be a pretty cool thing. I'm not gonna lie.
That'd be amazing.
It really would. So what else is in the news? This guy named Mark was pretty interesting this week.
Just some guy named Mark?
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know who this Mark is, well, take a look at your Destiny TV players right about.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway, and I want to ask you to join me in helping two great causes. And at the same time, enter to win my custom Jesse James West Coast Choppers motorcycle. Go to spurraffle.com and enter as many times as you like for a chance to win this bike. All the proceeds will benefit America's Mighty Warriors and the Spur Compassion Ministries. Tickets are only $10, and I need your help. Just go to spurraffle.com and help make a difference. Now.
He is so fantastically redneck. It's amazing. I love how he's trying to sound peppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny.
I know.
Like, if you sit here and listen to it, it's like, hi, I'm Mark Calloway. It's like, because you see somebody in the background, like, waving their hands up and smiling and going, happy, peppy, happy.
Yeah, I agree.
I want the outtakes of that commercial. I so want the outtakes. Because I know they're there.
Yeah. That commercial's tremendous.
It's even better if you... Well, I was going to say you showed it on the Justin TV player, but for those of you who are listening on the archive, go find it on YouTube.
Go to facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
Even better. facebook.com/WTRTheRack and just watch him as he's trying to, you know, be all tough and badass and sound peppy at the same time. It's awesome.
Hi, I'm Taker Calloway. Yeah, we agree. This is... Alright, now you're going too far.
Corner!
You don't mention the name around here. You should know better.
But yes, do as the man says, go to Spur Raffle, buy tickets, they're only $10, buy as many as you want, and support their cause, because it is an awesome cause. And by the way, if you do win the bike, I want pictures of it, but also, just as a disclaimer, if you do win the bike, you do have to pay for the shipping. They're not going to pay for it for you, so FYI to everybody on that.
Yeah.
Of course, then there's people like me. It's like, can you keep the bike and I just get him? You just ship me him?
No, Matt, $3 won't cover it.
No, $3 won't cover it. Sorry. Unless you want to fly to Texas and drive it back. But even then, I don't think it would work.
No, you're going to need more than $3. Plus, you're going to have to pay for gas if you're going to drive it back, so you probably need more than $3. Because that might get you like a gallon, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, but it's a motorcycle, so he could probably make it to at least the next gas station.
Yes, we're having a gas conversation right here on the rack, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If there's just tuning in.
Gas prices may vary. Ding. Oh God, what else is there?
New Jack has a new starring role on as a correspondent on The Daily Show.
Does he now?
As the urban correspondent.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I afraid now?
It could be really interesting. Apparently, Courtney Ross and Fanatic was trending on Twitter, so it could be interesting. I might actually have to check out the Daily Show and watch it.
Maybe.
But beyond that, that's basically all the news I've got. What about you?
That's all the news I've got. So, why don't we take our first break?
Sounds like a plan.
Alright, so when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact. Find out what happened. Did D'Lo stay in the Aces and Eights? And who made a surprise return? It's all next. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And now, haiku time, with Rene Dasodai and some dumb Aussie git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lisa is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up. Shut up. For the Trump Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, well, everyone who's listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Talk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MimLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs, including TNA autographs. Now, we are getting to the segment that everybody's been waiting for, the Impact Review, brought to us, of course, by TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, if you're listening to us over there. Hi!
Hello.
Come join us. Come join our interactive chat room, if you wish, over at WildTalkRadio.com and still listen over at TNA Asylum, or just listen over at TNA Asylum. Up to you.
Up to you. You can do whatever you want. But at this point, I need to warn people.
Spoiler alert!
We are talking TNA, so if you haven't seen the show, now you know.
Close your eyes, Matt.
Because we know
you're
listening.
Actually, plug your ears, Matt.
And once again, that's...
Spoiler alert!
There you go.
There we go. We finally got a sounder for it. So, tonight's exciting show opens up with Kurt Angle and Sting headed to the ring. Sting lets out a howl to rev up the crowd, which is super pumped and super excited.
Mm-hmm.
He then starts out by pimping the fact that he's the number one contender for Bully Ray's title, and he's riled up to face Bully on June 2nd, but he can't wait until June 2nd. He's ready to settle business with the Aces and Eights tonight. And that's why he went to Hogan last week for the six-man tag. And because of that, Sting now wants the best of the best. That's why he went right for Kurt Angle and right for AJ Styles.
When you start with, you want to assemble a team, you go for the best of the best. You start with the machine, Kurt Angle. And yeah, you know, that's, you look at Kurt Angle, God, you really, you want him on your side.
He was fired up.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle was fired up tonight.
Speaking of that, Angle then takes the mic. He says that he made D'Lo tap like a little bitch, and then he goes to say that there's more pain coming for the Aces. He's not done yet. But before he gets there, he then calls out AJ Styles to get his answer on Sting and Angle's request that AJ join them so that he can help turn the tide against Aces and Eights. He's the one that can do it. AJ obliges and comes out, but instead of giving Kurt his answer, AJ stonewalls him.
Stares right on. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nada. Zilch. Stood there.
This only serves to make Kurt more mad, getting more fired up. Kurt then demands an answer from AJ, but it gets him nowhere. AJ continues to remain silent. Sting then plays good cop and takes the mic. Sting says he understands where AJ's coming from. He can empathize with him. He sat up in the rafters for a year and a half, so he knows where AJ's been. He understands it. Sting asks for an answer. He asks AJ to join their side. He says that they need AJ Styles. They need the man that built TNA. If you hear those fans, that's the house that AJ Styles built. Sting continues to encourage AJ, but again, he gets nowhere. AJ just continues to stonewall them.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt then tells AJ he's sick of this crap. He's done. He tells AJ he's either with them or he's against them, and that they want their answer. They want it now. Well, AJ gives them their answer. He walks away.
Boo. Boo, AJ, boo. Don't you walk away from them. Don't you walk away. How dare you?
Well, Kurt doesn't let him walk away. Kurt demands that AJ come back. When AJ doesn't politely respond, Kurt then goes after him, where the fight then breaks out between the two on the stage. However, it seems like it was all a ruse, because as Sting stands and watches the fight go on the stage, the Aces and Eights sneak into the ring with ultimately Bully and Devon giving Sting a 3D right there in the middle of the ring and leaving him laying. Angle sees the chaos in the ring. He breaks through security and runs back to chase off the Aces and Eights as he checks on an unconscious Sting.
Fantastic start to the show. Fantastic.
Great start to the show.
I liked AJ just stonewalling them, as you said, and I love the 3D. I love them coming in the thing with 3D. It was timed perfect.
Because
you knew once they started brawling, you just knew the Aces and Eights would strike, and well, they did. They struck.
They did. So the question is whose side is AJ on? Is he just a nice little pawn in the Aces game? Or is he maybe in on more than we think he is?
Well, that's a good question. And speaking of those questions, the cameraman was trying to, you know, ask him if he's actually leaving. And, well, he checked his lip, didn't say anything, and kept walking out of the arena. So no more AJ. AJ's gone. Bye-bye, AJ.
Bye-bye, AJ.
So that leads to Kurt Angle and Sting don't have a partner.
Well, they're enough to take on the Aces and Eights, aren't they? It's not like they need some super ultra mystery partner, right?
No, they're Sting. He's a TNA Hall of Famer and Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist. Why do they need a partner? These two guys can take on Aces and Eights all by themselves. They're Sting and Kurt Angle.
Well, I guess we'll have to see as the show goes on. But before we get there, after AJ leaves, we go back to the ring where we have a knockout tag match prepared to happen. Tara, with Jesse in her new gear looking absolutely fantastic, mm-hmm. comes out with an equally fantastic Gale. They are taking on Mickie James and Velvet Sky.
If you haven't got Mickie James' new CD, go out and get it. It's available at shoptna.com.
It is. It was a quick match, which was really kind of disappointing, but it was a nice one.
Nice little short match. You can see Tara was a bit distracted with Jesse throughout the match, which kind of pissed off Gail Kim. And this allowed Gail Kim and Mickie James and Velvet Sky to get the victory at that point. Yeah, the sentiment among Gail and Tara, it looks like.
It does, because after the match, Gail yelled at Tara and took her down. Before Tara received a little hanging figure four action off the ring post.
I love this move. I love the figure four around the ring post.
It's a fantastic move, and they make it look absolutely sick.
And if you're going to have someone do it, I'd rather see it be Gail. And she did a fantastic job with it. The best part about this, though. Alright, so ODB is, yeah, you credit Hitman Hart. You know, one Canadian taking after the other. The best part of this was ODB, the referee, pulling Gail off of Tara. She has the flask in her hand, and then she was grabbing her ass at the same time. It was tremendous.
Only one woman could grab another woman by the ass and pull her off a third woman.
Mm-hmm.
As they're fighting. That's a girl move that only girls can get away with.
With a flask in hand.
With a flask in hand, yes. It was fantastic.
Yes,
King Kittens, now Tara gets a nice vacation to spend at her restaurant and hang out with Matt Goldberg.
Visit the Squared Circle now, if you're in Chicago.
Yes, if you're not in Chicago, well, get there, because we hear it's awesome.
We hear they have awesome pizza.
I hear they have this awesome, like, macaroni and cheeseburger that I kind of want to try.
Well, there you go. There you go. Go to the Squared Circle in Chicago when you get a chance.
Yes. But up next after this, we have the Aces and Eights backstage. They celebrate taking out Sting. But then things get slightly awkward because, well, D'Lo shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Like an ex-girlfriend at the party, they all just kind of look at him and sort of ignore him. Then things got really awkward. They said, well, we have club business to take care of in the ring, and we're all going to the ring. They take a roll call, purposely leaving out D'Lo. And then they all leave him standing there, looking rather pouty.
D'Lo is looks like to be on the outs with these guys. The group, the club, is a little upset with D'Lo, it looks like.
They are. Well, you know, to be fair, he did promise his colors last week. He did talk up a big talk, and, well, he failed to deliver, so.
Yeah. He did. Go ahead.
So, yeah. D'Lo.
D'Lo's a little bit uncomfortable.
He's a little bit uncomfortable. And I guess we're going to get the club business here shortly, but before we get to that, we get a little business by Bad Influence. This is a tremendous segment where Bad Influence finds James Storm sitting backstage, preparing to be the referee for tonight's number one contenders tag match. And as Storm is sitting there, they talk all about the AJ Styles incident. They talk about the fact of reforming Fortune and that awkward moment where James Storm says, "So your foot just happened to get entangled in my crotch."
Yeah, I don't know how that always happens, but somehow some people's feet end up in crotches. It just happens.
Just happens. It was still phenomenal. Basically, they're trying to sweet-talk Storm, convince him to become the third member of Bad Influence. Storm is a little hesitant, as you can imagine. However, they do attempt to butter him up further by bringing him a six-pack of beer. They tell him to take 5 minutes and think about it, to which Storm says, 5 minutes? Hell, I don't need 5 minutes.
He needs like four.
He needs like four, and he pops open a beer.
Gotta liquor up that cowboy if you want to do a good job refereeing tonight.
Yep.
Oh, I love these segments with Bad Influence and Storm and stuff like that. It's tremendous.
It is. And the fact that Daniels had two apple teenies was great.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
Go find this on YouTube if you haven't seen it, or go watch it on DVR if you DVR it, or just go find it. It was a rather humorous segment. Bad Influence, you can't go wrong with them.
You really can't. But now business is going to pick up, Lindsay.
Is it?
Club business.
Uh-oh, somebody's in trouble.
Yeah, the Aces and Eights are introduced. Blair-A hugs Taz, bullies Kenley. Taz suggested that they would kill him, then Aces and Eights hit the ring. D'Lo was with the group, but sort of pouting around in the background.
Yes, he knows he's in for it.
Yeah, Ray then got down to business, fouling to defeat Kurt Angle and Sting and whoever their mission partner is tonight. Ray says that he knows it won't be Styles, then offered a warning to any other wrestlers looking around to be the hero tonight. You know, you don't want to mess with the S&Ates, because they're going to get you. But then he got to the real point of the matter, the business at hand, and then D'Lo Brown. Brown tried to put on that brave face as he got up in Bully Ray's face. Ray told Brown to remove his colors right now. But Brown, shaking his head, "No, not going to happen." Ray asked again, "Do you understand me correctly?" And he repeated the same order. Then Brown took the mic and said, "No, this is his life. He won't be taking off the colors." Other group members then took the jacket away. Mr. Anderson yelled in Brown's face and said he quit last week and the club is not for quitters. Ray screamed in Brown's face that he let everyone down and now he's going to cry about it like a bitch. Which is a great line. Ray asked Brown how he's going to earn his stripes again. Brown said, "Well, I'll kick Magnus's ass to get in the club again." Ray told Brown he's flapping his gums again and that he shouldn't be doing that, because Brown's going to sit by the timekeeper and watch Doc fight Magnus tonight, or as we call him around here, Steve the Armbreaker. Ray told Brown that he better hope Doc gets the job done. And then we get ready for Magnus versus Doc with D'Lo Brown in the corner.
Which I noticed D'Lo did not stay in the corner, or in the timekeeper's corner, as he was supposed to.
No, he stood in the corner. He stood in Doc's corner, but yeah, he didn't get close to the timekeeper. I like the segment. Bully's great.
It was a really strong segment. It really played up the fact that they are a biker club, and this was the first of many of these tonight, because they had several Aces and Eights segments after this fact. Mm-hmm. And they did a really nice job of playing it up.
But you gotta, that the club actually matters.
Right, that it's important to them. They are a brotherhood. They are a club, mm-hmm. as they say. So it's nice to see them play that up.
I would agree. Totally agree.
And it was a great segment because it's like after this, right after this, they went into the match of Magnus versus Steve, aka Doc, with D'Lo obviously standing in the corner. This was a kind of, it felt a little awkward in spots.
Yeah, these two don't have the chemistry as others have had lately. Matches are right, but Magnus was able to get the victory after D'Lo grabbed the wrong leg.
Yep.
It's not good for Don D'Lo. He cost Doc the victory by tripping up Doc and without looking that old classic look away spot that we've seen many, over time in wrestling, which is still always a good spot. But yeah, Magnus wins, and well, D'Lo's interference backfired. So I don't think the club's going to be happy with one D'Lo after that.
I don't know, are they?
I don't know, you tell me.
Well, after we come back from the break, we're backstage with the Aces, and needless to say, Steve has a mad, Billy has a mad, and the club has a mad. They yell at D'Lo for the fact that he cost Steve the match. They then grab D'Lo and hold him down. Bully is standing behind D'Lo with the hammer, threatening to cave his skull in with it. Mr. Anderson then pipes up and suggests a more legal-friendly option, to which they basically make D'Lo the club bitch. He is officially demoted from VP to prospect, where his jobs now include getting the beer, making sure it's cold, and washing the bikes.
Yeah. Kinkins, D'Lo Brown, your punishment? 60 days of Jenny Craig.
Ooh! Ouch!
Harsh, man. Harsh. Truthful, but harsh.
Yeah, pretty much. So D'Lo is still technically in the club, but he does not hold the position he once did.
Is it wrong? I wanted him to hit him with a hammer.
No, it's not wrong.
I was waiting for him. I was like, come on, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him.
Yeah, it's like when they had him pinned down, because it actually it had that. This was the one of the other really fantastic segments because it had that reality to it. Mm-hmm. Of it's this is a because if you've ever read stories about biker gangs like the Hell's Angels or you know watch the show Sons of Anarchy, biker clubs are not nice things.
No, they're not.
So it added that really nice touch of realism to it where it's you screwed up and, you know, they went on to say D'Lo had shamed the club and he had shamed himself and, you know, they weren't interested in having him around and then they grab him and they pin him down on just a crate. Mm-hmm. And you've got like five or six guys holding D'Lo down.
Right.
As Bully Ray is standing behind him menacingly with this hammer. It was really well done.
It was really well done. The camera work was great. It was a well done segment.
It's like you're sitting there and you're watching it, and it's like, oh, holy crap, are they going to really do that?
I was hoping. It would have been a great moment, but instead he's going to be the bitch.
So we'll see how well D'Lo does being the bitch of the club.
Yeah, we shall see. Backstage, we have Hogan walking around talking to Angle and Sting. You know, they're trying to pitch a third member of the team, but Sting reminded Hogan that he can't wrestle per his doctor. Hogan said, they're right, but he got a phone call from a wild card today. Yes, a wild card. Angle wanted to make sure it's a sure deal that Sting pitched Magnus after what he did out there. Hogan and Sting agreed that Magnus is on fire, but Hogan said he wants to check with his wild card first. So, yeah. Magnus on fire, but this wild card is going to come into play.
Is he?
He might. I'm kind of interested to find out who this wild card is.
I'm kind of curious. Who could it be? After this, though, we get the other really great segment of the night. Do you have audio of this?
No, I looked and I don't have it.
Damn it! Okay. You could find this segment online, watch it if you're a fan of Bobby and Austin. Mm-hmm. Like we are, because we squee over them, or at least I do. You have Bobby and Austin walking backstage. They're looking for James Storm. Bobby is obviously being forced to do something.
God damn, I hate their YouTube page. Anyway, autosense. Anyway, continue.
They're looking for Storm, and Bobby is obviously about to do something that he really doesn't want to do, because he keeps telling Austin, it's a bad idea, it's a horrible idea, we shouldn't do it. No, we shouldn't do it. But Austin tells him, it's just words, they don't mean anything, just say them. They then find James Storm a minute later, getting ready to go out. He's all decked out in his referee gear, he's looking sharp, and a little foggy-eyed. Must have finished off that six-pack.
But I love this segment. It was awesome.
Well, I'm not finished.
Continue.
Austin and Bobby then say that Bobby has something to tell James, to which Bobby goes that the only reason Beer Bunny was any success was because of James Storm, and the only reason that Bobby won his World Heavyweight title was because of James Storm, and oh yeah, he's sort of sorry about the whole beer over the head thing.
Yeah, that was great.
And then they offer James a peace offering of a beer.
Well, duh.
To which James sort of smirks and laughs. They go back and forth a little bit before he looks at Bobby and says, oh yeah, and the word in the locker room with the boys is that Austin's win over you for the World Heavyweight title wasn't a fluke.
James Storm stirring that pot.
To which, of course, leaves Bobby to curse and Austin to be like, it's cool, man, it's cool, don't worry about it. As Storm walks off laughing.
I love that segment. That was fantastic.
It was a great segment.
They played it up so well. And then we return back. We found our Botchamania segment of the night.
We did. Oh, Christy.
Oh, poor Christy. Austin Aries and Bobby Roode are coming to the ring. Christy Hammond goes, bad influence, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
And they pan back up to Bobby and Austin, who are standing there going, what the hell?
They just stood there.
Looking at her like she's stupid.
Mm-hmm. She just stood, because she wasn't looking at him, and she just, you know, apparently she was probably told one thing, and they did another. Then Austin Aries came down and made her reintroduce them. He backed her up into the corner and started to climb up the corner as she was talking. Oh, that was fantastic.
And she's like, really, really, really get your junk out of my face.
But she couldn't stop laughing.
She couldn't.
Oh, that was fantastic. Nice cover-up.
It was. It really was.
But it then led into an awesome match, Daniels and Kazarian versus Daniels and Kazarian, I mean Bobby Roode and Austin Aries.
Yes, and this was a great match. Absolutely wonderful.
Storm,
match of the night.
Match of the night, without a doubt. Storm, for the most part, called it down the middle.
He really did. He was a good ref. At least till the end.
Yeah, that ending.
They have a little bit of a problem with biased refs. They kind of need to work on that.
Yeah, they kind of do. They kind of sort of do, yeah.
The ending saw James Storm giving a super kick to... I'm sorry, the last call super kick to Christopher Daniels, to which Austin Aries smiles gleefully and attempts to pin him by standing on him, but Storm will only count to two.
Mm-hmm.
To which then Austin receives his own last call super kick and is left laying in the ring as Storm walks off.
Great match.
Fantastic match.
James,
great ending, too.
Great ending. Storm played his role perfectly.
Although it looked like he may have done something to either his heel or something in the match, because after I think he kicked Daniels, he had this sort of look of pain.
I didn't notice it.
And then he was walking funny for a second, so I don't know if he hit him wrong, I don't know if he misstepped, what the whole deal was.
I'll have to go back and watch.
Yeah.
But very enjoyable, and leaves questions up in the air.
It does. What's going to happen? Who's the number one contender?
Hmm.
Will we ever find out?
Hmm. We shall see.
But I guess after this, we have Aces and Eights backstage. They're beating the crap out of Magnus. Poor guy. He got a little offense in, but ultimately the Aces and Eights succeed in taking him out. So I guess Magnus is out of the six-man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, what will he do? Oh no! I guess Hogan's wild card is going to play a factor. We'll have to see. After this, though, Kenny King comes out to the ring. He reminds us he is the X-Division champion, because, you know, we've totally forgotten. He then talks himself up a bit before bringing out Saban! By the way, on a side note, Kenny King versus P. Williams versus Christopher Saban. I'm sorry, Chris Saban. My little fangirl heart is just like a flutter. If they, you know, no offense to Kenny King, but if it was just P. Williams and Chris Saban, I could die happy. Because it's going to be an absolutely epic match next week. As I put in my recap, one word, squee! Anyway, Saban then talks about his dedication to his craft and his motivation to return from his injury. Saban then goes on to tell King he's ready to take the belt from him next week, that he has nothing left to lose, and that he's going to put everything that he has left, which is nothing, on the line. Sorry, little misstep. Anyway, King then goes on to say that Saban is an inspiration. King then invites Chris to temporarily hold the title just to see how it feels. Saban hesitantly takes the title from King, to which then King tells Chris that's the closest to the X title that he's ever going to get. King then says he's going to rain golden showers all over Saban's parade, to which I actually had to blink and rewind it for a second to ensure that he actually did say that. I don't think he knows what that means. At least I would hope not. Anyway, I'm a little disturbed. I know what it means. Anyway, a fight then breaks out between the two, and it leaves Saban standing tall in the ring as King looks on from the floor. This is a really great segment. Very strong. Loved it. It was a great teaser for next week. The only thing I would have liked to have seen was Petey Williams come out, potentially. But that's just because I'm selfish like that. And yes, I agree, Wrestling Fanatic. It's going to be great to see King in the ring with two vets like Petey and Saban. It will be absolutely awesome. So after this, we have a backstage shot. Bad Influence and the Dirty Heels are fighting each other. They're yelling at each other. We've got security holding them back, and we keep seeing a man laying on the floor, laying on a chair. Oh no, who's on the floor? It's the one and only James Storm. Somebody. Neither party is accepting responsibility at this stage. Attacked him. The question is who?
Oh no! Who did it?
Why?
Who did it? Why? Why would they do such a thing? It's. I think they all did it.
You think they all did it?
Mm-hmm. They're all kind of PO'd.
Well, I can see that. I can totally see that.
Me too. I can see it totally happening. Yeah. Damn those dirty heels and bad influence. Damn them.
Damn
the hell.
Them. Yeah, damn them all to hell. By the way, thoughts on the Kenny King segment?
Predictable. Both men need work on a microphone, but predictable. You could see that was classic heel 101. Here's the belt, then I'll take it back from you. But I won't give it back, and then I get hit in the head with it. Yeah, that sort of thing. It was heel tactics 101.
Fair enough.
That's what it was, but yeah. Both men need work, especially Saban. He needs to get better on the mic.
Yeah, but, you know, to be fair, he's been off for, like, what, 2 years?
Yeah, this is true. This is
true. He's probably a little rusty.
This is true. But hey, next week we'll get King, Saban, and Petey Williams.
I know, I put that in my recap. As I told our awesome listeners, I put squee!
But there was another big announcement throughout the show tonight.
There was.
That came right here. The Bound for Glory series announcement. There will be a gut check winner involved in the Bound for Glory series this week. As next week, we will have a match between Sam Shaw, Alex Silva, and Christian York to determine who gets that slot in the new Bound for Glory series, taking us all the way up to Bound for Glory. So I'm interested. One of these three could actually have a shot at getting a shot at the World Heavyweight title.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I like how they're changing things up with Gut Check next week. This time they have to earn a shot for a shot. It's a nice change.
It is a nice change. It's, well, I mean, to be fair, you can only, I think they're actually doing their Vote Online Gut Check series where it's, they're scouting indie wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're trying to do that right now. So it makes sense to, you know, kind of hold off on bringing guys or girls in for a little while.
Right.
Just instead use the Gut Check for something a little bit better and a little bit smarter in this case, which is to give them a title shot or the chance at a title shot. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
I was cool with it. It's going to work for me. I'm looking forward to it.
And I think after everybody was a little pissed after Adam Pearce.
Yeah, there's some backlash with that one.
Should have signed him!
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Oh, well. And maybe we'll see Adam Pearce show up later? I don't know.
I don't know, he was teasing stuff on Twitter, so we never knew.
It's wrestling. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen in pro wrestling. Anything. Anything.
But we cut back to the backstage area, a different area. We're back with the Aces and Eights yet again. Billy says he knows that not everyone is happy with D'Lo's treatment. Billy said he had to do what's best for the club and that they take out the week. He says that they are now headed out to take care of business. When he means they, it's Billy himself, Devon, and Anderson. Billy says someone needs to tell D'Lo that the beer needs to be cold and the bikes need to be washed as they're looking for women later. And apparently Wes is picking the girls.
Well, Wes, if you're picking the girls, you go to Salt Lake City, Utah.
My hand is raised. You cannot see it, people, but my hand is raised.
There's one waiting for you, one wants Briscoe in Salt Lake City, Utah. that's what I immediately thought when he meant that. But isn't Bully Ray married? And isn't Devon married?
Shh.
I'm just saying, it's kind of a thing that's been, you know... Bully Ray's
he said, well, to be fair, he said he's done with Brooke.
But he's technically still married.
Like, that means anything!
I know. Very true, wrestling fanatic. Very true. anyway. Backstage, we have Kurt Angle freaking out. Sting is trying to keep everyone calm. Hulk Hogan is eyes bugged out, trying to find out where if the mystery wild card's going to be here, and then their music's playing. Angle says, we gotta go, the music's playing, it's time for the main event. So, there is no mystery man as of yet.
But is he coming? That's the question.
That is the big question. We come back, we have Kurt Angle in the ring, Sting is in the ring, Aces and Eights come to the ring, and here we go, it's a 3-on-2 handicap match, the Aces and Eights versus Sting and Kurt Angle, in a really good, really good match.
This was a great match, there was a lot of back and forth, Aces had the upper hand a lot, Sting and Angle had the upper hand a couple times, it was really well done, it was nicely put together.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, when you look at who you have in the ring, it's really no surprise that this was a good match.
No, you have 5 good workers in the ring, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, you know this is going to be good.
Kurt Angle was on his game tonight, which is when Kurt's good, Kurt's good, really good, and tonight Kurt was really, really good.
Yeah, you could tell Kurt was really fired up tonight. He was on his A game. Sting was on his A game. Bully was magnificent. Devon was fantastic. Anderson was good. I mean, they all showed up tonight.
They came to play tonight. And then we have it breaks down that Sting is playing with Bully Ray, not Bully Ray, with Devon. And then, you know, everyone's down. Kurt Angle, Anderson chucks Angle on the steps. The Aces and Knights get the advantage. The table's being put in the ring. And then a familiar tune is being played. And wait, is that him? Is it? Wait, It's Abyss.
It's Joseph Park's brother. You know, Abyss.
You know, Abyss. Abyss is back, and he tore through the Aces and Eights. Oh, my goodness. Black
yes,
Hole
he
slammed
did.
The D-Von. They put Anderson through the table. Oh, my God. Abyss is back.
Abyss is totally back. And actually, we should mention before this, before they went to one of the breaks, they, or at some point in the match, they cut to the backstage where they showed somebody had laid out Aces and Eights.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. That man was the best. Oh, my God. Abyss is back on TV.
Abyss is back. It's going to make me miss Joseph Park, so now I'm curious to see what happens. Is the big brother back to avenge the little brother? Because as we recall, Joseph Parks was sent out on a stretcher with a neck brace because of Aces at 8, so it's going to be interesting to see if Abyss is back to avenge for some good old-fashioned family vengeance.
He might just be. Might be short-term. We see Abyss back for a few weeks to avenge his brother, Joseph Park.
That'd be pretty awesome, but either way, who cares? Abyss is back!
Damn right he is.
And he is there to take names.
Yeah, he is. He really, really is. Great closing to the show.
Fantastic closing, because as we were sitting here and Hogan was going, I have a wild card, I have a wild card, we're all thinking, oh, it's probably like Samoa Joe or something like that. It's like, it would be really cool if it was an actual surprise. And it was an actual surprise. Nobody was expecting Abyss.
Yeah, you expected you expected Jeff Hardy or Samoa Joe. You didn't expect Abyss, and that's what you want. You want the unexpected, and they gave you the unexpected tonight.
And if you think back a couple weeks ago, we had that conversation of, well, who could be that guy that steps up? Who's that hero that comes in and steps up and helps turn the tide against Aces and Eights? And if you really think about it, who's better than Abyss?
This is true. He's been one that he... It all started with him.
So, I'm very happy to see Abyss back. I'm curious to see how they play it forward now that Abyss is back in control and Chris Parks is officially out of the picture right now. Or, I'm sorry, Joseph Park, I should say, is actually out of the picture right now.
Kayfabe, the real name. Jesus.
Sorry. Well, you know, the whole Mark, you know, Mark thing.
Mark.
Sort of,
with
yeah.
With air quotes.
Yeah, Mark with air quotes, because you know that's totally not right. You don't put anybody's real name in quotations.
Yeah, as Russell Fanatic puts it, the major positive is that Abyss, quote-unquote, has not been on television for a full year, so the character appears fresh. And if you don't use him often, when he does show up, if you use him for short spans, it will keep the character fresh. Because once this, you know, after a few weeks, the character will stall out again because we've seen enough of the character.
Yeah, I would have him, because he's there, obviously, we get the explanation as to why he's back next week, and then you use him kind of sparingly. You don't necessarily have him on the 23rd. Maybe you have him on the 30th.
You keep him around, but you don't use him every week. You know, if you use him for 4 straight weeks, fine, but then it goes away after the pay-per-view, I'm fine with that.
Well, Mace, to be fair, we could still get Joseph Parks.
You could.
I mean, you could actually do something. That's why I said, I'm kind of curious to see how they play this with the two characters now. Because they've reintroduced Abyss back into the company again, aside from when Joseph was looking for him and when he was feuding with Bully. So it's going to be interesting to see if they have any interaction between Abyss and Joseph, and if we get more of those moments where Abyss potentially has, because we know Joseph has his Abyss moment.
Mm-hmm.
It would be curious to see if Abyss has any moments as Joseph, and if they tease more of the split personality.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, I had no idea that the dude was missing his bottom front teeth.
Well, Abyss is missing his two front teeth.
I didn't realize this until he was smiling, and I was like, dude!
You never knew that, he was missing teeth?
I never knew he was missing teeth.
Well, yeah, he was. That was always a thing. He would always be missing teeth.
Well, I never looked at his mouth that much.
Well, they would always show close-up shots.
Again, never looked at his mouth that much.
Okay.
Well, that's a nice claim to fame. RVD kicked your teeth out.
Vader ripped your ear off. RVD kicks your teeth out. How to make it in pro wrestling.
Ding! So this was a fantastic show. It was a great way to start to build for Slammiversary in June. Looking forward to it, getting excited, and actually it's kind of interesting because they really don't, aside from the title match, they really don't have any matches made for Slammiversary yet.
We have ideas where they're going, but no real defined matches. But
we got
3 more weeks to go?
We got 3 more weeks to go, so I'm curious to see what happens in those 3 weeks.
I am too. In my opinion, I think we may get Gail Kim Velvet Sky at the pay-per-view.
Which I'm okay with.
I'm thinking that's where they're leaning, just a guess. No insider knowledge or anything. It's just the way they're trying to book Gail strong right now, I kind of see that's where they're going, especially with the knee thing. Keep an eye out for that knee thing with the figure four. And Velvet having the bad knee.
So right.
Keep an eye out for that.
Could Gail reclaim the title?
We shall find out in the coming weeks ahead if that's where they're going. I'm just throwing it out there. Rack exclusive. Gail Kim, Velvet Sky, maybe?
Possibly.
We shall see.
Yep. So on that note, we're going to take our next break of the evening. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we've got our Tweets of the Week and our fantastic discussions. What are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk all about, does Ryback in fact rule? Can you take wrestling outside the box? And, well, could Brock Lesnar retire The Rock? And, of course, our Question of the Night and Magic 8-Ball. So stay tuned in and listen, and we will be right back right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
The home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have 2 words for you. You're welcome!
looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MemLamePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs, WWE, TNA, or just sports in general, or celebrities in general. They've got some awesome stuff. And before we get into Tweet of the Week, we have a caller.
It's Steve from Kansas.
I'm sorry, but my name is Alan from, well, Britain.
Alan,
I don't even know where in Britain. I wander around.
You wander around in Britain? Wow.
You're not Are you sure you're not from Florida?
No, last I checked, this was Thursday, not Tuesday.
You sure? It kind of felt like Tuesday to me. Anyway. Tweet of the week.
Anyway.
Before I get myself into trouble. Let's go to Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Tweet of the Week, right here, needs a sponsor. If you want to sponsor Tweet of the Week, please sponsor it. Contact us. at contact@radioshow.com.
Yes, so who wants to go first?
I'll go if you want.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan. Also, I was just told I'm the most muscular hippie. Vince McMahon responding to Donald Trump. Donald Trump goes, "Don't let fear of striking out hold you back." Babe Ruth quote. Vince McMahon, "I've fallen on my ass many times." Yes, he has.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Lee, just named the new ferret AJ. Someone tweets AJ, just named the new ferret AJ. She's a bit of a diva. Not the first time I've been compared to a ferret. It still hurts, Mom. let's see. Oh. Someone tweets AJ, it looks like AJ has no female friends at WWE. Hashtag lonely diva, hashtag raw. Girls are never my friend, but their boyfriends always are. And then we get a little creepy.
We get a little creepy?
Mm-hmm. Big E Langston to Caitlyn. First it goes, why would anyone think I am Caitlyn's secret admirer? I admire her openly and publicly, sometimes with pricey opera glasses. And my present to her would be a weird hat. It would be Aunt Jemima pancake batter and a cast iron skillet. Holler if you hear me.
Dude, that's like the best present ever. Does he make them for you?
Maybe. But now here's where it really got creepy. He tweets her directly. You are my hero. Can I get a retweet and some photos of you at home on the beach and wearing a bib while you eat baby food? He sends another one. It's been about 30 minutes and I haven't received a single pic or a swatch of your gear. I'll also accept a used moist towelette. She responds back, ugh, I saw you going through my trash. I want those moist towelettes back. And if you're wearing a locket with my are you wearing a locket with my hair in it? He responds, where I come from, trash is public domain, and why would I put your hair in a locket when my black/blonde wig is almost complete? And he goes, if I produce Total Divas, Caitlyn would be the star. I already made a storyboard. Pilot. Caitlyn brushes her hair slowly, then quickly. Yeah. Big E and Caitlyn on Twitter. Amazing.
Creepy, yet awesome.
Mm-hmm. Those are what I got. What do you got?
Well, I have Cowboy James Storm.
So you're the one who hit him, and then that... Okay, I see how it is. That you got them to attack him so they can bring him to you. I got it.
Yeah. You know, I'm behind everything. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
I got it now. I got it.
So this is Tweet of the Week for me, just because of the picture. And I just found this in the intro, and my jaw kind of dropped a little bit. So he goes, this is how a cowboy takes off his stuff. Like a ninja. And I am posting the picture in the chats, to which, as I sit here and look at this picture, it makes me realize that he's taking it with no pants on.
He's the Invisible Man.
He is. He is totally the Invisible Man. We then go on where he says, hey, at Baby Heppner, you can have the ref deal. That shit is hard. I think I pulled my groin trying to do your and your dad's traded slide.
So there you go. There's your update.
There's your update right there. And then, of course, believe it's Beer 30 who's with me.
Rob Parks would be at this point.
I think we all would be at this point.
Well, there you go. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Macy, you got any?
I got one that relates, sort of, to my own current situation. It's from our good friend TJ Omega.
Uh-oh.
August is officially trying to kill me. Figure Arts White Power Ranger pre-order up. And that's basically meaning he spends money and I'm also spending money.
Has he did he talk to you yet today about spending money?
Yes. I am now $60 poorer.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Kane Kidden submits one for Twitter Week from Ricardo Rodriguez. Hey, I look at Zeb sometimes and I just want to pet him and feed him a cookie. I pictured him eating you like a squirrel.
That's awesome.
No. See, Kane Kidden, here's the thing. When Omega spends money, he makes me spend the money. Because it's... So what Omega does, he makes people spend money on YouTube.
Yeah, Omega likes to spend everybody's money, including his own.
Omega is a swindler. Same.
He takes great pride and satisfaction when he can spend anybody's money, let alone Mace's.
Now,
yeah.
Now here's the thing: we need Omega to do this challenge. He can spend Mace's money as often as once, right?
No.
Most times.
He gets to spend it when there's something worth spending money on, and I can't procure it for myself.
No, I mean he makes you spend money. That's what I mean.
Well, yeah.
The challenge is he needs to make Tim spend money.
Uh oh, the challenge has been issued.
That's the ultimate challenge. Getting Tim to spend money.
I don't even think Tim has money.
Well, if he wins the lotto, maybe.
Oh, how many years has he been saying that?
Russell Fanatic goes, make a Canadian Jew spend cash? What?
That wallet is welded shut.
So I think we need to let this challenge out to Omega, because he's probably not listening. He's probably doing a podcast, maybe.
Omega listens to us?
No, that's what I mean. He's not listening. He's doing a podcast or something. But we need to throw this challenge out to him. Omega must get Tim to spend money.
The challenge has been issued.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here first. Hashtag Rack Exclusive.
Hashtag Rack Exclusive. But now, I think we're going to go into our discussions a little bit. And what do we want to start with first?
Whatever you want.
Well, since it's been lingering from last week, let's talk a little bit about Ryback.
Yeah, let's talk about Ryback. Lead it off. Let's see where we go with it.
Ryback needs help. I'm sorry. I try to be positive about everything, but that boy needs help. The whole intelligent monster thing, at least for me, just isn't working. He needs somebody to talk for him. Because it's like you're trying to build him as this badass monster, which it works, and then he put a mic in his hand. And it's just like, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, I would agree. I would totally agree, yeah. Oh, Ryback. Oh, poor Ryback. He needs a mouthpiece, and we've been thinking about this for a while, and we want suggestions on who you think it could be. But when you think of Ryback, everyone talks about how he's Goldberg, right?
Right.
Ryback is the big thing. I'm going to play a snippet of a promo here. See how far we can get into it without me wanting to kill myself. And then you tell me if this person sounds a lot like Ryback.
Looked in every direction, Macho King. Search all parts, all corners of your normal universe. Look above, but you will never see my gods. Look there! Look over there! Look down, for you shall see the skeletons of warriors that have already fallen. But you will not, Macho King, find what you are looking for. For at Royal Rumble, you came to take something away, but you left something much more valuable behind. Lodged in my skull, Macho King, was a piece of the crystal of your kingdom, your madness. That piece of crystal that you're searching for, that one last piece. They said, but warrior, it's lodged inside your skull. I said, sew it in! Leave it where it lays! If the Miz...
All right, we'll leave it there. All right. If you listen to the Warrior's tone of voice, Ryback is just a more monotone version of the Warrior. He spouts out weird, random things. This time scripted. Warrior was unscripted, as it's clearly been put in the chat room. But if you just listen to his cadence and the way he speaks, they're one and the same.
It's scary.
You're blown away about this now too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because just about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever. Like, I started hearing Ryback, and like, all I thought was Warrior. This is Warrior, just a monotone Warrior. And the snort too, yeah. The awkward snort is in there, yeah. He's Warrior, and he just no.
That just yeah. I'm really okay. I'm trying at the moment because we know I can do a sort of half decent Warrior impression, and I'm going over it in my head. Just trying to construct a Warrior like Ryback promo, and yeah, it's very eerily similar.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
Not at all. What do you think, Lindsay?
The only difference is Mace now doesn't have to yell. He can talk in a nice, even voice. Monotone voice.
Feed me more Domino... feed me more Papa John's.
Feed me more Papa John's. Dude, we need to write a Ryback and Warrior commercial.
You have no idea the toll that first commercial took on my voice, did you?
Well, I'll be good then.
Yeah. Mind you, now I'm thinking Ryback in the Warrior face paint with the tassels.
Wig or no wig?
No wig.
Oh, no, still bald as hell.
Just put the face paint on him with the tassels.
Put the face paint on.
Because he has the armband. He just needs the tassels.
And he refers to himself as the Ryback.
Well, they already do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you notice, Dan O'Brien, when he called for the match, he called him the Ryback.
Same with Cena.
Oh, good lord.
I think, to kind of get back on topic, I think as far as Ryback goes, we're all in agreement. He needs a mouthpiece. He desperately needs a mouthpiece. There's just one really key problem with that, and that is the fact that there really are no mouthpieces left.
No.
Sadly, managing is a dying art. And this is where I kind of wonder, I know it's like, in thinking about it, I'm almost sitting here and wondering if they could do the same thing for Ryback that they sort of did for Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman. And you have Paul Heyman sort of develop that next monster character and help develop him and help really build him into something.
The problem with giving him the Paul Heyman is then everyone will stop comparing him to Goldberg. And now Warrior, and to have him compared to Ryback.
Yeah, it'd basically be trying to build Brock Lesnar 2.0.
Which you don't want. But the concept of being him the silent monster and giving him a manager, that works, because he won't be Brock Lesnar if he has someone other than Paul Heyman.
But the problem is who do you put him with? There are no managers left.
Russell Fanatics bringing up, you know, what agents do they have backstage? You got, like, an IRS, and a Dean Malenko, and a Road Dogg, but none of those guys scream manager to me.
Because, you know, yes. Dean Malenko was such a great promo man back in the day.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So he was.
See, now, the first name that actually popped up from my mind, and unfortunately, you know, we're in an era where this guy would be too old to run, but Paul Ellering.
He'd be good.
He was the first guy who popped in my head as a manager mouthpiece for Ryback. Because of the way Ryback comes out, looking in almost the very bikerish gimmick. Mm-hmm. But then again, Paul's probably a bit too old to be bringing back out in this day and age.
Another name would be James E. Cornette.
Oh, that ship sailed.
I know it sailed, but he would be the guy, because if you think about it with Vader, he would be sort of like that dynamic he had with Vader, trying to control Ryback.
I can see it. I can definitely see it. It's just, it's kind of one of those things that it's like, unfortunately, that ship's gone.
It is, it is. Cornette and Ryback versus Heyman and Lesnar. That'd be interesting. Heyman and Cornette battling on promos. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh, some shit would come up in those.
They would have a 7-second delay on that one for sure.
Try 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And even then, when they get to the actual promo, it's going to be a long thing of.
Yeah.
All you would see is Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette standing in the ring, and they would just hit the mute button. You wouldn't hear anything. They're talking. You could read their lips.
You would just hear crowd noise.
You would just hear crowd noise. They would kill the mics.
Mm. And even the crowd would just be sitting there going, oh, crap. What? How do we respond to this?
Holy shit.
You'd have Vince out up on the top of the stage going, no! Stop! Get out of the ring!
Alright, Kane Kennedy brings up a name. AW. He was okay, but he doesn't scream as a guy who can control a monster.
Well, if you want to talk about a guy that could control a monster, that could definitely still be in the business, Jim Mitchell.
There's Jim Mitchell, that name.
Type of monster. Jim's always good with your mysterious psychopaths. Like your Abysses, like your Judas Messias.
Your Mortis.
Your more demented characters, that's where Jim excelled. Having him against a pretty much normal as hell aggressive guy doesn't quite work well.
But could you maybe have him take Ryback there? Where he brings out that side of Ryback.
I don't know if it
again, it starts leading into Lesnar territory, if he does.
And you go a manager controlled monster, Estrada.
He would be good.
Yeah, but the only unfortunate thing would be is Estrada would be getting a gigantic face pop.
But no one says that a monster has to be heel.
Well, let's go off what they're currently doing, though.
Yeah, I know. But then you're really scrapping the bottom. DiBiase doesn't work.
And sorry, Kane Kittens, I don't see Ryback as a part of the Watt family. Or the Wyatt family, or whatever they call them in NXT. I've seen the way those guys work. Believe me, if they bring those guys up as a tag team with the dude, with Bray as the manager, oh, money.
Them got some beards.
Oh yeah, they've got some beards.
They're good. They'll give Daniel Bryan a run.
Oh yeah.
They'll give Daniel a run for his money.
Without question.
Cousin Daniel.
Cousin Daniel, there you go.
Yeah, Cousin Daniel? Get the goat! Somebody go get the goat Muppet now! There we go, the goat could manage.
No, the goat's got to manage Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I would actually laugh if they brought in the Wyatt family and they actually referred to Daniel as Cousin Daniel.
That'd be amazing.
Only because of the beard. I'd laugh my ass off at that, to be honest. But yeah, unfortunately, I think it's more the fact that the art of the manager has become such a rare thing in wrestling these days that it's hard to find someone that can fill that type of role. And it's really bad because we need those type of people today, because there's still not guys out there that can cut a decent promo, Ryback being, well, prime example right now.
Well, do you think that's something that will change when they open this new performance center in June or July? Because I know, you know, obviously they're going to be working with all kinds of characters, because you're right in the sense that nobody really wants to become a manager anymore because everybody wants the limelight. Nobody wants to kind of take that step back and just be the add-on to somebody else, to be the add-on to the star and help make the star. Nobody really wants to take that step back anymore because they all want the glory for themselves. So I'm curious to know if with, because obviously we are seeing a change, a turnover in the product now where it's getting younger again. They're going back to a different, kind of a more, I guess, simple philosophy, if you want to term it that, with Hunter. And I wonder if we wouldn't see Hunter maybe push for more managers.
Which he mentioned when talking about the training facility, the performance center that they're building. They're going to be able to teach referees and managers and stuff like that. But at the same time, if you bring up a manager needs credibility. And a new guy right now, I don't know how much credibility they would have.
Yeah, unfortunately for Ryback, he needs an established manager. He needs somebody that you know is going to be able to control him. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of options.
A name that just came to mind that could possibly work, if they really do it right, Teddy Long.
Out of my head, Rock.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going through the names in my head like WWE guys. Teddy Long would work. And he would work with this whole feuding thing with Booker T, and it would tie in, and Teddy Long finds his guy to dominate SmackDown.
I can see it.
Because Teddy has the mic skills. Because what it came to mind is when WrestleFanatic put it out. See, a manager is an extra guy that they don't want to pay. But they pay a lot of extra guys just to stand around. And if you love him or hate him, Teddy Long for a year has been standing around doing absolutely nothing but make tag matches on SmackDown. And then tag matches and other tag matches and more tag matches and more tag matches. But beyond that, he hasn't really done much for basically most of the year.
Right.
So
Teddy's a good example. Teddy is definitely somebody who could possibly do it.
Because if you remember him, you know, he had his run in WCW, but then if you think about him and,
Didn't he used to have,
Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Took me a minute.
He has managed before.
Yeah, he has managed more in the landscape, so it would kind of work. JBL,
JBL's a good faction leader, but he's not a good manager.
Because the focus would be on JBL, and the focus doesn't need to be on JBL.
Yeah, he would outshine Ryback in a lot of ways.
His ego is way too big.
the thing is with that, you definitely have to strip wrestlers out of the equation, or ex-wrestlers, because when you bring them in, then the focus goes onto the ex-wrestler that's coming in, because people want to see them back.
Right.
Right.
And that's the problem there. It's the problem with a lot of guys. And that's why you need a name, especially for someone you're pushing in the main event. If you want to bring up a manager and have them work with a lower card guy, which is fine, but when it's a main event level guy, they need to be someone who has the knowledge and the experience. The believability factor.
I know I just said no ex-wrestlers, but this just popped into my head, and I could have just... I saw the comedy spots write themselves. Bring in DDP.
Oh my god!
getting right back to do the DDP yoga.
DDP yoga. I can see like DDP trying to motivate him. Ryback just looks in and goes, "No."
But here, okay, when you think about DDP, how old is DDP at this point?
Isn't he in his 50s?
He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
And if you think about his career...
He's managed once before.
But
he originally was a manager, actually.
He was a manager once before, but he's always been that guy who always is in the background.
Yeah, and that's why I suddenly thought of him, because he's got that ability to disappear into the background when he needs to disappear. You know, if he's at ringside, people won't really notice him until he needs to be noticed.
Right, and that's where you can use wrestlers, is if they have the ability to step back.
Yeah, because that's pretty much what a manager is. Manager is a guy who comes out and he's at the forefront when he needs to be at the forefront. When you need someone to talk on a microphone, that's where they're there. They're there as a hype man.
Right.
Basically, they come out, they get the guys pumped to see the man that you're representing. The second he steps foot in the ring, you got to disappear.
Ricardo
does it.
Right.
Ricardo does it extremely well. He does his intro, and then the second Del Rio's out, dude disappears.
And then Ricardo steps back, and then he gets the crowd into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the type of person you need. And for Ryback, you need the mouthpiece.
You really do.
Oh, yes, Kane Kitten's definitely the opposite of Zeb.
Yeah, without question.
I'm sorry, Dutch does not know how to step back.
No, because
he's too happy to be back in the in the company again.
And with a person like Swagger, even if Zeb steps back, his personality is so much stronger than Swagger's. Even low-key Zeb overshadows a Swagger.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to hide behind Mr. Invisible.
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
It's hard to hide behind somebody who's got the personality of a glass window, so...
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm actually online on a specific site. I'm not going to name the site, but I'm sitting here actually looking at the list of managers looking at managers, and it's just like, it's really kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you go through, it's like you look at the lists, and it's like, you've got the managers and valets for the 1970s. There's a nice, really long, good list, and you see all these names like, you know, Lou Albino and J.J. Dillon and Freddie Blassie and just all these guys. And then you go to the 80s, there's like Billy Graham and DDP's on there, Harvey Wimpleman, Jim Cornette, Mr. Fuji, Percy Pringle III, Paul Ellering, Paul E. Dangerously,
Bobby Heenan,
you know, there's a nice, really long list. You get to the 90s, the list gets a little bit shorter. There's some still really.
Since you're looking at the list, I'm assuming you are. Did you notice the shift between 80s and 90s? 70s and 80s was all male dominated managers, all guys that could talk big. 90s, those guys start to dwindle off. We have the rise of the female valet.
You had Sherry, and you have Elizabeth, and you have Sunny and Sable.
Yep. That's sort of your transition from 80s to 90s. I'd say probably about 98, 99 through early 2000s, you watched the entire list plummet.
Because then you had Stephanie and Deborah in that era.
Actually, just looking at the 2000 managers or the 2000s list, the female list is longer than the male list.
Yeah.
Because they took the male guys and they put them into the ring.
Because you just looking at the 2000 list, you've got Armando Estrada, Bob Orton, Bobby Bass, who I've never heard of, Buzz Stern, Chavo Classic, you know, guys like Dave Prazik and Jim Mitchell, Kenny Bolin, who was down in OVW, Daivari, Paul Heyman, Rajan Singh, Ric Flair, Rico, Piper, Scott D'Amore, Long, and hell, they even have Vince Russo listed as a manager.
Well, he was the manager of AJ Styles. That whole sports entertainment extreme thing. Bob Orton and Chavo Classic were there for cups of coffee. Scott D'Amore was a really good manager for Team Canada. He'd be a guy. He'd be an interesting name with Ryback.
He would.
Again, I sort of thought, again, this is like guys out of nowhere who probably would not work with Ryback, but I just want it for the comedy angle. Just like, when Bobby Roode was looking for a manager.
Right.
You know how he went and he went to, Sherry, Bobby, and Jimmy Hart and all that. One of those type thing where Ryback actively looks for a manager. That's where you get DDP, and DDP tries to get him on the DDP yoga. Doesn't work. Next one. You bring in Simon Dean.
Oh my god.
This patent.
And the return of the Simon system. And the Segway. He's gotta come in on the Segway, damn it.
My Simon says Simon Dean, whatever Simon Dean is his name. Mike Bucci, yeah. He's not happy with somebody at this point. I think it's Bob Holly, I think.
Well, nobody's ever happy with Bob Holly.
Because of his book. That's a different story for a different day and another day.
And no Ken Kittens, we do not get Johnny Polo back, because I can tell you now, Raven will not go anywhere near the WWE, no matter how much money they throw at him.
Gangrel's looking for work. He's openly saying he wants work. If you listen to an interview he did with Arno Kell, he's interested. He's really interested in working.
But unfortunately, though, I don't think they'll hire him because Gangrel wouldn't fit with Ryback.
Gangrel really won't fit with
Ryback. He'd have to drop his gimmick. Yeah. He'd have to drop the Gangrel gimmick. He'd have to lose weight, change his look and everything. He'd basically have to stop being him if he's going to manage.
Yeah.
WWE wants to start paying White Wolf the naming rights anymore. Anyway.
Let's see, I'm just kind of curious now, because I want to look at their current roster, and I want to see if there's anybody you could...
See, I'd probably start looking at NXT more than anything. Unfortunately, I know we don't really want to look at new guys, but unfortunately there's not really much on the roster at the moment that can transition into a managerial role, which is why you now have to look at developmental.
But for like I said, a new guy is good for a new guy. For an established name, it just comes off weird.
Then maybe time to bring in a new guy with a couple of others, establish him, and then look at this down the track.
Right. Maybe put Ryback as an enforcer of a group.
He could be the enforcer for Sandow.
Get out of my head. I was just sitting there looking at it. Like, huh. And somebody said it in the chat room. It's like, huh, Damian Sandow managing Ryback. Think about this. Damian and Cody try to turn Ryback into a gentleman.
It would just be the insults from Sandow at Ryback, and Ryback just looking at him going, huh?
Ryback does try to use that big vocabulary.
He does.
So, it is a possibility. I can't see it, but it could work, maybe.
Could Ryback upgrade the 3-man band and become make it a 4MB?
No. No.
No, I don't. Because then we're treading on, like, sweet tea, and we don't want a repeat of that.
No, that's not sweet tea. You have the 3-man band, right, Mace?
Yeah.
He'd be the Tank Abbott.
Oh, God, no! Stay the fuck away!
Okay, here's something to think about, just looking at their present roster right now. Not looking at NXT, just looking at the main roster. What about somebody like Josh Matthews or Matt Stryker?
Matt Stryker's always been good.
That bad thought, but it actually works.
What?
Brad Maddox. Manipulation on every level. You don't know whether Ryback's manipulating Maddox or Maddox is manipulating Ryback.
Possibly.
I can see that.
But I don't know. You have to have the believability to that Maddox can actually control him, and no.
Yeah, but that's where you bring it in, that if Ryback wants X, Y, and Z, he has to do favors for Maddox and Vicky.
Fricky.
F- Fabricki.
What about Vicky managing Ryback?
No. Please, no.
Because that means giving Vicky more time on television, and we really don't want that again.
Yeah, and they've done a great job of keeping her minimalized at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another interesting combo, Tamina Snuka.
No. She can't talk. You need someone to talk, and Tamina's not a talker.
Yeah.
We're going back
That's the unfortunate thing, is that they don't have people who can talk. Like, most people who can talk are... I would love to see Regal, but I don't know why they just won't want to use him on television. They love keeping him in NXT.
They don't trust him on TV. They don't like him on TV. Vince doesn't like him on TV. Especially if you think about it, when they went to England, they put him on TV, but it was sort of like 90 seconds.
Vince, and it was mainly for the hometown crowd.
Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, for years, WWE spent... It was for years, for like 4 or 5 year period, they got away from the promo, WWE did.
Mm-hmm.
They took the microphone out of the majority of wrestlers' hands. And that's hurt some guys, where they've not given them the ability to get over as more than they should. Take a guy like Kofi Kingston. He can talk a little bit, but they've kept him away from the microphone. They've kept a lot of guys from the microphone. And now with Saturday Morning Slam, which is going going away for the summer, apparently, on summer hiatus, because the season only goes from August to May, apparently. They've been giving more guys a chance to talk on the microphone, using them in a commentary position. They've used Ziggler to get these stories over, because the guys who were good are gone.
Well, I think they also, at least down in developmental, for a long, long time, got away from teaching guys and girls how to talk, how to get over. It's basically, they more train them, here's a script, learn your lines, and say them.
You didn't have the right guys in place. You had Bill DeMott running the territory, and he's, for all good Bill DeMott is, he was never the best talker.
Mm-mm. So it's, and they did that for a long time, and that's why you have guys, and I think that's partially why they may have gotten away from the promo a little bit, because it's like you have all these guys and girls which are basically just teaching to read off a script. And that's what they do. They read off a script, and it comes off really, really poorly a lot of the times, because they're not taught how to deliver a proper promo. And if something goes wrong in the script, if somebody flubs their lines, Randy Orton, we're looking at you.
Randy doesn't flub his line.
He forgets his line.
What's my line? What's my line again?
Just kidding, Randy. We love you.
Yeah, we love you, Randy.
There's most guys wouldn't know how to improv that.
Right.
So it's like, because I remember the first time that they put Ziggler on the mic and they really let Ziggler talk, and everybody went, "Holy crap! He can actually talk. He can actually cut a promo."
Right.
Why is he still with Vicky?
They left him with Vicky too long. He should have been going away from her for about 6 months before he was. Really established himself on the microphone. But continue.
And to kind of sort of get around the manager problem for Ryback is he's trying to play it two different ways. And I mentioned this to Rock, I think, after Raw Monday, is he's trying to play this two different ways, where he's basically the big hulking monster in the ring, and then he's trying to be this very intelligent, sophisticated being outside the ring. And there's nothing wrong with him wanting to do that. The problem is that's not the perception, and it's really hard to get over that perception, especially when you look at him and his chest is just massive in the shot when they're right up on him.
Right.
It's like, he's a big, massive dude, so what you're expecting is Ryback smash. Where it's, you know, almost, you don't have Ryback cut promos. Or if you do, it's just one or two word promos.
Ryback rules.
and get rid of the crappy catchphrase. anyway, but yeah, it's you simplify Ryback down to really his almost basic form for a little bit, where it's he's that silent character that does his talking in the ring.
And if you think about it, that's what got him over.
That is what got him over. He doesn't cut promos. He doesn't talk to people. He doesn't have conversations like a normal human being. He just goes out there and kills people. And then leaves.
Right.
And that's almost kind of what they need to go back to with him. Or that's what it feels like they need to go back to with him. Because it's like you sit there and you watch him and it's like he's trying. And as a fan, I can appreciate him trying. It's just, it's such a disconnect. It's distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, if you're going to cut a promo, dude, don't be all soft-voiced and monotone. Have some passion. Have some, you know, fire, some force in your voice to sort of match the outside.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Anyways, what do you think?
I think we're screwed either way. We be boned.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry to be so blunt, but yeah, we're pretty much burned at this point.
Melina, no, she would more than likely not be welcome back to that company.
Why?
Hell no.
Why, all the guys she, you know, did aren't there any longer.
I think she left a bad taste in management's mouth.
Alright, I'm...
Or the other way around.
Other way around. You set yourself up for that one.
And rightfully so.
But speaking of smashing things, let's transition a little bit, shall we?
Okay.
To Mr. Smashing himself, Brock Lesnar.
Hmm.
So we all saw the destruction he caused on Monday Night Raw.
But before we get too far into this, I would like to say this. Bravo to Paul Heyman. Because when he put out the tweet of Brock Smash, I laughed my ass off for a full 20 minutes.
Right. Well, we're not getting into what he did Monday. It was just a segue.
I'm just saying.
We're good.
Because I don't exactly get a chance to say that stuff when it happens.
Right.
Nor usually on Sundays.
Well, we'll be talking about that. We'll talk about Brock Smashy Smash on Sunday.
Yay, Smashy Smash.
Teaser for everybody. But I had this thought the other day. I'm going to throw it out there.
Did it hurt?
No, it really didn't, because it came around really, really well. Brock Lesnar, WWE Champion. Possible? Think about this one. You have John Cena go through everybody, but, you know, there's this one guy, Brock Lesnar, standing in his way at SummerSlam. You do Brock Lesnar, John Cena at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship, and you put the belt on Brock Lesnar. Many people go, ooh, ah, Brock Lesnar, WWE Champion, that can't happen, can it? Why couldn't it happen for like a couple of months? Because then you can lead to many different roads. Mainly, as one scenario Lindsay was setting up, Brock Lesnar versus The Rock. And I'm going to give this to Lindsay. She believes this scenario is where you can have Brock retire Rock, right?
Yes. Although you're going to have to help remind me because I don't remember exactly what I said. I remember the scenario, and we came up with it, which basically is because on Monday night, where they're walking through WWE headquarters, which I agree with Mace was absolutely fantastic. That was the one thing I was looking forward to on Raw when once Paul Heyman sent out those tweets. Is they're walking through WWE headquarters, they're up on the executive level, and they're looking at the pictures on the wall. And you have Brock Lesnar go into business for himself. And he teased something that wasn't meant to be teased, but they went with it anyway, which was Brock Lesnar staring at the Rock poster.
Right.
And everybody kind of had that audible gasp, like, oh my God. And because if you think about it, if you look at who they've given to Brock, it's there right now they've given Brock basically Cena and Hunter. Mm-hmm. Right now there is no ETA on Punk, and it would be, unless you're going to have Punk and Lesnar feud over Heyman, there's really no way, I think, to set up a good Punk story with Punk Lesnar story without one of them going face.
But we'll get it. We have a scenario for that, but we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a bit. But one thing that could be interesting is there was always the rumored Brock Rock match, either at Mania or at some other level.
Right.
And what would it do for Brock Lesnar where, you know, say Brock Lesnar beats John Cena for the title?
You have Brock Lesnar beat John Cena for the WWE title. You have Brock Lesnar, you know, this is, we're going to spin it off in two different directions. We'll go with the Rock scenario first. Brock Lesnar wins the WWE title, defends it in September against random wrestler Randy Orton. Say, for example. We go that direction. Then, you know, he's ready to go. He's going to fight John Cena, gets his rematch at Hell in a Cell. And this is in Miami, so you bring The Rock back, and you have The Rock cost Brock Lesnar the belt, and you put the belt back on John Cena, and everything is back to normal. Now you give a reason for Brock Rock at WrestleMania. And we all know The Rock's time in the ring is winding down because of injuries and what have you in his movie career. Why not do that match and have this be The Rock's send-off where Brock finally puts out The Rock for good?
The only issue I have with that is that WWE won't let The Rock go out on his back. They won't let The Rock go out traditionally. They'll let him have this gigantic send-off. And it'll be some sort of big adversity win, you know, the big underdog story, which would work with Brock.
That would still work as well, but... Okay, we'll just go with that. But alright, we'll go with your scenario then. Rock beats Brock. Do you buy the setup, though? Have The Rock cost him the belt?
Because, no, because that means turn, like, The Rock doing a dick move.
A dick move?
And to be honest, you want Brock to be the bigger dick.
Okay, well, I'll throw it back like this. Rock shows up in July. Random appearance. And that's where Brock lays out The Rock. Then you come back with him setting up and costing him the belt. Eye for an eye?
I don't think you really need the belt involved if you're going to go with those two, though.
No, it's getting the belt back off of Brock and putting it back on Cena. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense for The Rock to get involved, especially in something to do with the title, if he's not wanting the title for himself.
Well, maybe he wants the title for himself. Because he is technically...
Then I want a sniper rifle and a seat at WrestleMania.
Let's play nice.
Brock Lesnar, The Rock, WrestleMania for the WWE title?
Mace no likey very much. Like, okay, here's the thing. I could buy Brock getting the belt. This is the thing. Unlike The Rock, I know Brock's going to be there.
Okay.
I know he's not going to have to play fucking juggling tricks with his schedule to be a threat as a champion. He doesn't even need to be there to be a threat to the company.
And this is where
because he's got Heyman.
And this is where we're going to transition to this. So this is where we're going to segue. Brock Lesnar becomes WWE champion. Brock Lesnar destroys the roster. Goes through everybody. Each challenger he throws against him. You throw Randy Orton in a Sheamus John Cena rematch. He's taken out all the big stars. And then there's a promo one night where Paul Heyman goes, Brock Lesnar is the best. He's the best in the world, which would bring back CM Punk. And then you do CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, for the WWE title as a feud. And I wouldn't bring him back till the Royal Rumble. And then you do Punk and Lesnar at WrestleMania.
I'll be honest. The Rock idea at Mania is probably one of your better go-to ideas.
Okay.
Punk Brock could sell the Royal Rumble, not Mania.
Alright, then you bring Punk back at Survivor Series, and then you build it to Mania, or build it to Rumble.
Yeah. You could also build it to SummerSlam as well.
Yeah.
It's something of, because if you think about it...
Nobody remembers SummerSlam.
Well, if you think about it, what you could do is, just to kind of sort of piggyback off the Rock idea, Brock Lesnar beats the Rock, where you basically, Brock Lesnar wins the title from John Cena at some point. Okay? Just to keep it in the mix. He's got the title. You give him a really nice title reign where you basically, Brock Lesnar runs roughshod, because once Brock Lesnar has the title, he has the power, which gives Paul Heyman the power to do what they want. And they basically put the edict of, you don't get to see Brock Lesnar fight for free. He only gets paid to fight, so he only fights on pay-per-view. So if you want to see Brock Lesnar defend his title, which he's only required to do every 30 days, then you see him do it on a pay-per-view.
And that's the only time you see Brock Lesnar. It's the only time you see him.
That's the only time you see him.
That's fun.
You pay to see the WWE champion. Well, as Lesnar goes through the roster, you get to Mania, Lesnar, say, beats The Rock. And he beats The Rock so bad that he beats him into retirement. Or he just beats The Rock, whichever way you want to look at it. The next night on Raw, you have Paul Heyman walk out. Or at some time in the future, whichever you want to do it, however you want to do the build. Whereas you have Paul Heyman walk out and go, that's your best. That's the best you have. What are you going to do now, WWE? Brock Lesnar has beaten your best. And you have Heyman continue on this track until eventually CM Punk comes back. And you have CM Punk come back and say, you know, Brock Lesnar may have beaten the best the WWE has to offer, but he hasn't beaten the best in the world.
Right. And you don't use the word best until late in the program. Because then everyone, including WWE, will go, oh, hey, look at CM Punk's name. You gotta keep CM Punk's name out of everybody's mouth whatsoever. No articles on WWE.com, no tweets, no nothing. Keep CM Punk underground. So it's one of those moments, because if you think about it, the best moments in wrestling are the surprises, like tonight on Impact.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm just thinking, like, I'm trying to think like the company would.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea. Let's move it to somewhere between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble.
Right, the whole timetable is...
Because here's the way you build it. Brock beats Cena. Brock says, I've just beaten the best that WWE's had to offer. I just beat Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Call me Doomsday. You know, throw a few puns out there. This brings out Punk after, you know, a month or so. You know, Brock keeps playing up. I've beaten your best. I've beaten the best guys that the WWE has to offer. Punk comes out. You haven't beaten the best in the world. Heyman gets between them, trying to calm the situation. That leads you to Brock and Punk at Royal Rumble. At that point, Brock goes over.
Right.
Then you have, I am the greatest wrestler that this company has ever seen.
And then cue The Rock.
Boom. Here comes The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to go one-on-one with the great one. You want to prove it. You come to me. That leads to your WrestleMania.
I can see that.
Question is do
and
you
if
play...
You, and if you want to sell tickets afterwards, the second you have the, you make The Rock lose at WrestleMania to the point where The Rock is stretched out or something.
And that was
you make Brock look like a full-blown nut bar.
Right.
But the thing is, you have him go, fine, I've beaten all your top guys one-on-one. There is nothing you can throw at me that I can't defeat.
Mm-hmm. Gong.
I probably wouldn't even go Gong yet. Gong I'd leave to later. At this point, I would actually go for a repeat. You have Cena come out and say, you know what? I'll agree with you. You've beaten us all one-on-one. How are you in multi-man? No, because... Hear me out. You want to sell a pay-per-view after it. A four-way between Cena, The Rock, CM Punk, and Brock Lesnar? That sells tickets.
It sells tickets, but you make no money.
They might have to take a hit for it. But the thing is, but here's the thing. You'd make it up in pay-per-view revenue. You'd definitely make it on the door. You'd make it on merchandise. They're not gonna take a biggest hit as people would expect from it.
The big hit is paying, you know, the two big guys.
Well, hey, how much money have they thrown at Lesnar and The Rock already? for the minimal dates that they've done. I'm quite sure they don't care about throwing money at them to get them to work.
They've lost some money, you know, they didn't make as much money as they could have in the first quarter because of paying the guest talent.
Nobody's making as much money as they ever fucking did. This is the thing. This is the way business works at the moment. Nobody's making money.
No, the
bottom, so you hit for the long-term payoff.
No, the company bottom line took. They put out more money because of those two. But I get your scenario. I like it, and it would be the ultimate scenario. But it would be a shame you waste it on Extreme Rules.
look, I probably wouldn't make for Extreme Rules.
I do it for.
Believe me, I would not actually. No, I would not use it for Extreme Rules. No way, known in hell.
Do it for SummerSlam.
Yeah, use that for SummerSlam. Then. You want Survivor Series? You want a
that's where you use Tigger.
That's where you lead to Gong.
And now you've given Brock Lesnar a year-long title ring.
Is there a problem with such a thing?
No, it's a great thing.
And to be honest, with a guy like Brock Lesnar, it's more fucking believable than CM Punk.
Yeah, because he's a dominant badass. We had this discussion on Monday. About Brock Lesnar. If you think about it, he's in his prime right now. He's never been healthier. He's never been any stronger. Brock is in his prime, and he's coming off like a complete badass.
Yep.
So. Yeah, they're booking him so right now. It's not funny. Now here's the question: do you do the match between Taker and Brock at Survivor Series, or do you lead it to Mania? Because this would be after 30. So the question is that Taker's retirement match? Do you have, instead of retiring Brock, do you have Brock Lesnar retire the Undertaker? Think about that one.
No. I would probably, I'd be running the Undertaker down at this point. So in my mind, your money. For many, as far as Taker is concerned, has something to do with the Shield. That's where the money lies with Taker at WrestleMania 30. Whether it's a 2-on-3 handicap, a 6-man, a gauntlet, or something, Taker versus the Shield, that's your money.
That's SummerSlam this year.
Yeah, they're probably going to do Taker and Kane versus the Shield. And possibly Bryan will be thrown in there too.
I save it for Mania, make your big money.
Taker wants Brock at Mania. They're not going to give him Brock, but he wants Brock.
Too long a wait for Taker for Mania. This story, you got to blow it off.
And to be honest, aren't we coming up on another Survivor Series milestone over the next couple of years?
I don't know.
No, I think he's only at like 23.
Bugger.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out like some sort of, like, to be honest, if I was ever to give The Undertaker a last match, It'd be at SummerSlam. It'd be at Survivor Series, not WrestleMania. He started at Survivor Series. I reckon he goes out at Survivor Series.
The only thing is they want to give him the big send-off, so they would want him to retire, and I'm sure he would as well, at Mania, and if anybody's to earn the right to retire at Mania, it's Taker. Whether he does it the night after or what have you, but... I would agree, because then you could have Taker lose, and you could have Taker go out on his back like I'm sure he would want to do, putting somebody over.
He'd be putting over a couple of the young blokes. Even reports have come out recently. He turned around and he said the Shield is money.
Yeah.
He's in love with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Well, that's apparent, because he came back and he worked them. Mm-hmm. After Mania. He came back and worked the Shield after Mania. You know, for that to happen, Taker sees something he likes.
And to be honest, how often has Taker ever done anything like that?
Not in recent memory, not very much. So that's a huge...
Even to the point where he has said something and it has gotten out of the company.
Right.
That he has said, his kids are money. You don't hear that ever.
Uh-uh. And that's a huge compliment to them. And he complimented Daniel Bryan as well.
I like the goat.
I like the goat. He put the goat over. I mean, it's... Think about that. I mean, I was talking to Rock about this. It's like, can you imagine Daniel Bryan in the Shield? Especially the Shield guys who have been in the company, what, 6 months at this stage? Or just about 6 months? And they're working Taker?
Yeah.
Think about Dean Ambrose getting a one-on-one match with The Undertaker.
Yeah, that says a lot. And if Vince isn't seeing dollar signs, then the dude needs to retire.
Because if you look at it, when they're having them do singles matches, you look at who's wrestling the singles matches. It's Dean. It's not Rollins or Reigns.
Sure. Which I find quite surprising, because I thought if anybody was going to really go anywhere, it would have been Rollins.
Well, he still may. They may still work with him, but they see money in Ambrose, and they see money in the Shield, and rightfully so.
Mm.
They're doing everything right with the Shield right now, too.
But yeah, it was sort of dragged right off track on sort of how to book Brock Lesnar, but going back to it, you know, the idea, there are ideas that you can work, and it all depends on how you want to do it. If you want to actually put the time and effort in, this could be a very, like, the putting the title on Brock could be one of the biggest things that company could ever do.
Right, and like Lindsay pointed out, which is what we discussed, is he's the guy you have to pay to see the champion. And it'll be the first time in forever where you actually have to pay to see the champ.
Which, you know what? I'm completely fine with.
Makes it feel special.
Well, it's more along the lines of it makes it feel special, but it works very well for the character.
Mm-hmm. It gives him that UFC fighter feel, because how often do the UFC fighters fight? Not often.
Mm.
And it's a big deal when they show up.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do something like that, let's change the contract idea up a bit. Instead of it being you have to defend once every 30 days... Put a 60-day clause. Have Heyman rewrite the contract so it says a 60-day clause.
You want your title back?
Or a 90-day.
You want your title back? Here, you have to, you know, go through our demands. Once every 60 days, my man Brock Lesnar will show up and fight, defend the title. Bring your best.
Yep. And then they have to find the best.
And then you have
especially when you're starting with Cena, you've got to really start pushing the... Yeah, you got to turn the volume up to 11, 12, 13 through 20.
And this is where this has now become a competitive environment on Raw and SmackDown and what have you, where you have to fight to get that shot. You're not given the title shot. You have to fight the title shot. You have to fight to be the guy to fight Brock Lesnar. You have to prove yourself.
None of this 3 months straight of getting title shots because I have a rematch clause. Nah, fuck that right off.
Right.
You want the title shot? You earn the bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you earn it by winning your matches and doing it in a spectacular fashion. Give us a reason to make you the number one contender.
So. Yeah, so. There's that. I think it's time for a question of the night, Lindsay.
I think it is time for a question of the night.
And what is our question of the night?
I say that as I take a drink of water. Our question of the night is as follows. If you could give a wrestler a job outside of wrestling, what would it be? And what were the reader responses?
Goes along the lines of... I'd have AJ be a whore. Oh, wait.
Who put that?
Stone Ambrose.
Alrighty.
We have one for a customer service representative. A personal trainer for most of them. We'll get the kink hands in a minute. Julie Hart goes Cabana Boy. And then we have a bunch from King Kins. We got really creative. Matt Goldberg thought this was a hard question. He couldn't think of an answer. But King Kins goes Dolph Ziggler, Stuntman, or a combination of Swagger, Rey Mysterio, Evermore, or Randy Orton, pizza delivery team. I could say Taker is a Walmart greeter. Then what do you do when you get close to retirement? That's what you do when you get close to retirement age, right?
Oh, King Kins. Ouch.
Also, Dean as Lindsay's Cabana Boy. And
welcome to Walmart. Rest in peace.
Hi, my name is...
No, welcome to Walmart. My name's Mark Calloway. Go buy something now.
Well, that's how he sells tickets.
That's how he sells motorcycles, too. Robbie E as Lindsay's personal stylist. One word, sweaters.
Corner!
And, yeah, I said Dean as Lindsay's Cabana Boy and Palm Front. Frond? Waiver? Whatever it is. Frond? Whatever. There you go. What kind of job do you want to see people in, Mace?
Well, you'd have to go like the sort of more, we'll start with the more obvious ones. You know, Chris Jericho could be a dance instructor.
Right.
Same with Fandango. You could teach people how to do really stupid dances. Surprisingly enough, AJ Lee, I could see her owning her own comic book store.
Right. I could see Santino as, like, you know, a carnival act with the cobra.
Let's see. Ziggler, surprisingly enough, I'd see him as one of those Calvin Klein models.
I can see that.
Of course you can.
shut up.
Daniel Bryan would be like the guy who's cooking at the fryer at Popeyes.
Mm-hmm. No, I see Daniel Bryan heading PETA.
Yeah, that too. Surprisingly enough, Teddy Long, used car salesman.
No, I just see that JBL written all over it.
Yeah, it does.
JBL's got his perfect job, stockbroker. That's perfect for him. Him getting to yell and scream, buy and sell, that's perfect for him. He's done himself well. Trying to see if I can think of anybody else off the top of my head.
Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, motivational speakers.
No, stand-up comedians.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lindsay? What do you think?
I want to see Kane run for office. Just given his political reading. Kane and Dane O'Brien for president and vice president. Daniels and Kaz I can see as bartenders or Chippendales dancers. Take your pick.
Okay.
Let's see. Taker, as I can see, is, you know, the stereotypical. He actually he's a motorcycle salesman.
I was going to say that or mechanic.
Yeah, I was going to say mechanic, yeah. Someone works at a
mechanic,
garage.
Too, yeah. Like, I don't know why, but I see him on the Discovery Channel with his own bike building show or something.
I don't know why, but I could see the Bellas at the roadside diner as waitresses.
I could see that. I don't know why, but I would love to see AJ Lee as a first grade teacher.
Great first grade teacher. Be as small as them.
Caitlin, I can see owning the comic shop.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd see Caitlin more as a probably year 5 teacher. I could see her teaching young kids.
Alright, I'm gonna throw a job at you guys. I need you guys to fill it. We need a gym teacher. Who would be a gym teacher?
Natty.
Antonio Cesaro.
I could see Cesaro.
I could also see Natty.
Natty works too.
But then again, I could see Natty in a lot of things. And Adam with them too.
Ba-dum-ching.
Playing dodgeball. Swagger has... Swagger and dodgeball. Duck, dive. Duck, dive, a ladder. All that fun stuff. Fun stuff. All the 5Ds. Can't remember.
Santino as an Italian interpreter.
Working for the UN.
I can see Cody as a lawyer.
Yeah. Sandow would own a high-class bookshop.
I can see him being an etiquette teacher.
Yeah, etiquette teacher or one of those high-class cafes where it costs like $20 for a cappuccino.
No, think about this. Sandow as a librarian just screaming, "Silence!"
No, Sandow as a Walmart greeter. You're welcome.
I like those.
Actually, Walmart greeter? Zeb Coulter, get your shit and get out. Buy America.
Well, Sandler reads 50 Shades of Grey. I think that's a pretty good list.
I think it is too.
So now it's come to time part of the show where we ask the Magic 8-Ball.
Alright, well, what are our questions for the Magic 8-Ball?
Sadly, I had one and I can't remember it, so anyone in the chat room have a question as I think of stuff?
Just so that way Matt Goldberg doesn't call shenanigans, there it is.
There's the actual Magic 8-Ball. Anything you want to ask the Magic 8-Ball, Mace?
Have I spent too much money?
Has Mace spent too much money? It is certain.
Thought so.
Should I buy the t-shirt on T-Fury? What's that? Better not tell you now. Okay?
In other words, yes. But you're going to regret it later.
Probably. Will Esden win the AFL this season? Let's see. Come on, come up. You may rely on it. And will Kane Kittens make it out to California this summer? Yes, definitely.
Well, there you go.
If I buy a raffle ticket... Will I win the Undertaker's bike? Ooh, yes. I get paid tomorrow.
You get the bike, you don't get him. He doesn't deliver it to you.
Damn it! I can get DJ off of it.
Did I make the right choice with my new glasses?
Did Mace make the right choice with his new glasses? Signs point to yes.
Okay. I just don't want to look that much like a nerd. Yeah, I don't know why, but when I went and bought two pair of glasses today, and the salesperson actually tried to sell me the thick rimmed nerd glasses.
Too funny.
She was lucky I didn't stick them through her eyeball.
But they suit you so well.
Fuck off.
There you go. We got one more from Acer. Ready to go?
Ready to go. Let's see. Will the Toronto Maple Leafs survive the 2012-2013 NHL playoffs against the Boston Bruins for Game 5? Very doubtful.
Sorry, Maple Leafs fans.
Sorry.
Well, there you go. That's the Magic 8-Ball for another week here on the Rack.
It is. So does anybody have any gripes?
Tim Tebow shouldn't be the most influential person in sports.
Fair enough.
And somehow...
Damn you, Omega, for spending my money again.
And... somehow, Manti Te'o's girlfriend was number 69 on the Maxim Top 100 list.
You crazy.
Yeah, I saw that. What the fuck?
Maxim,
she doesn't exist.
Maxim, you're drunk. Go home.
No shit. Too late. We've stopped asking the Magic 8-Ball. I was going to ask her if I should buy a game. It's all good.
No, ask away. What game?
Okay, should I buy Saints Row 4?
Should Mace buy Saints Row 4? Outlook good.
Okay. See, that's how I work out my purchases. I ask a Magic 8-Ball.
Right. How all purchases should be done.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know, like, this was probably put in, and just to link it up, saw a new gameplay trailer today for Saints Row 4. They have a dubstep gun.
Does it make you do dubstep?
It makes everyone around you do dubstep while you get to hear wah 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 wah. So it plays dubstep tracks while it makes everyone around you dance. It scares me.
It's kind of badass, but it's kind of scary at the same time.
Yeah. But then again, this is also a game where you suddenly get superpowers, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Grand Theft Auto on crack, pretty much.
So already on that note, shall we wrap up?
I say we shall. This is where I start talking, huh?
Well, I think we should let Mace pimp first.
Yes, follow me on Twitter at the Mace thing. Try your luck at Facebook if you can find me. As for games this week, are we evil apples to appling?
That's up to you and Omega and stuff.
We shall see if games night happens. If well, that's tough shit.
This is your
actually,
deal.
No, it's not going to happen this week. I actually have something else on, so no games this week.
No games this week. Well, there you have it. But Saturday night, midnight-ish, we'll be back for another edition of CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, and Subway as we talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Join Mace, Omega, and Tim Stein for Russell Talk Radio this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk about the greatest WWE champion of all time, Brock Smash. Preview Canadian All-Pros big event next Saturday on the 18th. Which is No Escape, where you can vote for. Right now, go to CanadianAllPro.com, vote for the main event stipulation. Monday Night Raw post-show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Join myself and Lindsay Ward as we recap Monday Night Raw. 3 hours and down, if we have 45 minutes. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik on the show. Apparently, he'll be speaking to Michael Elgin. So join the big Wojcik for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern. GP Radio returns, 8:30 p.m. Eastern this Wednesday night. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack. Go to WTRProductions.net, CanadianOpera.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and join our Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Lindsay.
The big Wojcik, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I could, you know.
I know you couldn't help yourself. So you can follow me on Twitter, at Lins Ward, LINSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, check that out. Go to CassidyRiley.net, check that out. Look for information on Southern Wrestling All-Stars. Google it. They have a website. I believe it's SouthernWrestlingAllStars.com. They have a show.
Superstars, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a show. I believe their first show is tomorrow night or Saturday, so check that out. Go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com. Of course, listen to all the other fine programming on this network. Check everything out. Support our hosts. Support our network. Go to our awesome sponsors. I'd like to thank Mace for coming on. Thank you so much. And, of course, as always, thank you to Rock. So, for them, I am Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye.
Get a good feeling, yeah.